So, yeah, Soil Science Committee is a hard act to follow. So we appreciate you going first. And the ASA committee is quite similar to our committee in that we're a new committee as well. And we, too, are about the same size as the ASA committee, and we also have a lot of diversity in terms of our regional representation, the crops that we work with, private sector involvement, and so on. Lots of folks who are really very much committed to helping get crop science in the K-12 science curriculum and to have a positive image and increase public awareness and understanding of crop science. I better keep this within reach. And so we did start forming last fall, so we had the opportunity, several of us, to sit in and join the SSA K-12 Business Committee. And we then had some more appointments early this year and got going. So it's really, you leave a big wake for us to follow, and that's great. And what we decided is that we don't even want to pretend to take on all the things that you're taking on right now. We need to focus a little bit. We need to get our legs under us and get started. What was clear is, yes, we're here. We want to start climbing this mountain. But, oh, by the way, there's this a decathlon event over here that we need you to go run that right now. So all hands on deck for the Science and Engineering Festival. We've never done this sort of thing before on that scale. The National Mall is just a little bit intimidating. You know, hearing that there are going to be thousands of people coming by is a little bit intimidating. But we got that together. We also have as a focus area a children's book and also curriculum resource development and an internet presence, so things that you've heard about from the previous speakers. So here's one of our shots from the booth, and Greg Waldbaum is here in the audience. He's on the left in this photo. He brought the aeroponic culture system with him. And, you know, we had ideas of all sorts of exotic flora coming out of there, you know. The reality is that moving it from Virginia Tech to Washington, D.C., where you have a mist system and you have to be plugged into a source of power, you know, means that you need a pretty tolerant plant. Or you're going to have a bunch of dead plants. So Greg very adroitly selected rosemary cuttings, and they survived very well. And so you didn't quite have the visual impact there, but it was something people had heard of, and you could sort of scrape the leaf just a little bit and get a little bit of the aroma, so a little sensory stimulation there. And Greg also brought peanut plants. It's a little bit hard to see. Well, it's a lot hard to see. The little baby peanut plant that we pointed out to, you know, 3,695 kids and parents. I don't know if I can get this over there. I'm working right on the edge of the table here. There we go. So right on here in this old TLC reservoir, basically, with the glass sides, you could see where a little baby peanut was beginning to grow. And then you could take a full-grown peanut and sort of hold it there and show this is going to grow into a peanut under the surface of the soil. And we only use the S word at our booth, too. Under the surface of the soil. And then I think Greg grew a lot of peanut plants in the greenhouse, so we'd have some that also had some pegs that were forming. And you could show this very unusual structure that basically bores into the ground for the placement of the peanuts. So that's a neat story. And the connection there, too, is with peanut butter, which 999 out of 1,000 kids love, and one goes straight to the hospital if they get anywhere near it. So you have that little bit of anxiety there about, is peanut allergy suddenly going to become an issue? No, it didn't. It never came up as an issue. We also monitored very closely kids who wanted to grab our peanuts and just took them away from them. Other materials that we had, so our giveaway was the mood pencils, and these are kind of neat, and so here are the pencils, and that's a way to get your internet address out in the public. And then Suzanne, who's also here in the audience, provided us with basically plant quizzes. And so here are seeds, here are photos of crop plants and different parts of crop plants and products and so on. And this actually turned out to be very useful, because when we were really mobbed, for the folks who were waiting to ask you a question or to visit with you, they could keep themselves busy looking at those sheets and looking at those seeds and talking to their brother or sister or parents about what could be the answer. So that was very beneficial. So I think you're getting the picture here that we learned a lot about how to work with the public, how to meet the public. And so a last second burst of inspiration here. I had some red, white, and blue potatoes in the garden. And I showed kids the difference between popcorn and field corn. And they actually were interested. If you talk about popcorn first and then sort of lead them to field corn, you open up lots of talking points about starch, about why popcorn pops, about why field corn doesn't pop, about how you can convert the starch and field corn to sugar and to ethanol, and then that gets blended with gasoline and so on. So there were lots of talking points here, and so yes, I also lost my voice during the weekend. So meet the public then. So what were our objectives going into this? Basically to increase public awareness about crops and a little more broadly about plant science. We decided to just sort of use those terms basically interchangeably. An education role to promote plant science in the Crop Science Society of America. And I'll just acknowledge our a USDA ARS scientist, Bill, in the back there, who joined us on Saturday, I think it was, for a while. And so, and there's a picture of Wandana, a student at Rutgers, who helped us out during the weekend, and also the ASA folks. So as you study this whole event and you study the people who are walking by and you contemplate from their perspective, they're looking around. They may be there with a specific interest. They may just have a general interest. You know, they may have been dragged along by their parents. And so they're looking around. So how do you get them at your booth? How do you get them to listen and look at sort of at your booth? Well, I'd say a lot of the other societies, I mean, they just dazzle you. You know, there are robots and, you know, skulls and, you know, all kinds of things. So they've really got a nice hook out there. They've got quite an attractant out there. So some people, you know, they may just be dazzled when they look at your booth, or they may be intrigued. They may be a bit curious about what you have. And so then there's sort of a decision. Are they connecting with your booth? Do they want to participate in what you have to offer? So hopefully they come over to your booth and they can learn, they can experience something, and they can take away something. And you wonder, sometimes they just tolerate you for a couple of minutes because they want one of those cool pencils, but that's okay too, you know. So who are they, and how are we prepared to interact with them? Who are these people in the public? Well, they're teachers and students. Okay, that's sort of an duh. It's a science and engineering festival. Lots of students and teachers. Parents and children. It's an activity to go check out. Gardeners and plant enthusiasts came to see what we had to offer. People who have cultural food and crop interests, memories. They were intrigued to see that, oh, we grow yellow corn here. We grew white corn where I grew up. Or, you know, all these sorts of conversations could get started. Some people have health food interests and they want to know about is high fructose corn syrup okay or is it bad for me? They're reading about this in the popular press. You get into extended conversations with people who've read Michael Pollan's books. And corn is sort of Satan incarnate now. Okay, well, there's a starting point for a conversation about corn anyway, with a corn breeder, I might add. And you have just plain old anti-GMO folks, just that simple. And you have scientists, maybe a physicist or an engineer comes over to visit and talk with you. So what we learned from this is that we are dealing with a really diverse audience, and we really have to be prepared to provide scientific information in a way that is empathetic to their interests and their concerns. Because often they have incomplete information or they have incomplete understanding. And how do we sort of engage them? How do we bring them in to science and to a constructive, positive conversation? So that was the Science and Engineering Festival. And I'll talk just a little bit about the children's book. So we have sort of a workup, if you will, with the objectives, start on a storyline and the look of what this book is going to be. So the Cool Bean, the Soybean will probably be our first children's book. And it will be, we will probably have a series of different books. So curriculum resource development is something we want to really start tackling in a big way this year. And we also want to start developing internet presence. So this will be our priority going forward. This is the last slide, so I see the moderator working his way toward me. So that this will be our priority going forward. And phase one, I think, sort of similar to what ASA is doing as a gateway, helping teachers decide what is grade appropriate, where to receive the information they need, and phase two, really to develop our own material. So I'll stop there.